Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping right into something that's, well, it's moving incredibly fast and it's critical. AI certification. You see AI developing at this breakneck speed, right? And all around the globe, nations, institutions, they're scrambling, trying to figure out frameworks to make sure this technology actually serves us safely, ethically. It's way more than just tech talk. It's really about global governance now.
It really is. And what we're seeing, it's not just a tech race, is it? It's a fundamental quest for trust in this digital age we're living in. As these AI systems get smarter, more autonomous, the big question becomes, how do we actually build and keep public confidence? And certification, well, that's kind of emerged as the key, the currency of trust, you could say. Different regions are all trying to define what responsible AI looks like, how you earn that trust.
Right.
So our mission today, for you listening, is to try and cut through some of that noise. We want to clarify what AI certification really means, look at what's happening globally, how it's all shaping up, and hopefully give you a kind of fresh perspective on how AI governance might evolve, you know, towards something more inclusive, more ethical.
Exactly. So whether you're maybe prepping for a big meeting on this, or just trying to get your head around this field because it moves so fast, or maybe you're just curious about how we manage AI globally, you're probably looking for those key insights, so those important nuggets. And that's what we're here to do, help you understand what really matters in this conversation. Okay, so let's dive straight in. What is AI certification? Why is it suddenly such a huge global thing? I mean, this push for standards, it feels universal, doesn't it? It's not just one country doing its own thing. You've got governments, big institutions, everyone seems to be actively working on this.
The urgency is, well, it's palpable. There's this almost universal agreement that we need guardrails for AI. Everyone sees the incredible potential, right? But they also see the significant risks involved. And what's fascinating is the range of approaches emerging. They really reflect different national philosophies, different priorities.
Like what? Can you give us some examples?
Sure. Take the European Union. They've been real pioneers with their AI Act. They've established this high-risk classification for certain AI uses. And this isn't just a guideline. It's serious. It means strict, mandatory requirements for these systems.
High-risk like? What kind of applications are we talking about?
Think about AI used in critical infrastructure managing power grids, water systems, or in education, like grading exams or admissions, employment recruitment, using AI, credit scoring. These are areas where the impact on people's lives is huge, so they get labeled high risk.
And what does that label actually mean for a company developing that AI? What are the implications?
Oh, they're significant. It means you need rigorous testing before it even hits the market. You need strong human oversight built in, really strict rules about data quality and governance, comprehensive quality management systems. It's a very high bar to clear before that AI can be deployed in the EU.
Okay, so that's the EU's approach. What about elsewhere, like the US?
The US has taken a different path.
Yeah.
More voluntary. You see things like the NIST framework, that's the National Institute of Standards and Technology AI Risk Management Framework. It focuses more on best practices, guidelines, encouraging industry to lead on standards. The idea is to foster innovation while nudging towards responsible development, but without those heavy government mandates you see in the EU. It's definitely more flexible, less prescriptive.
And China, they must have their own approach too.
They do. China's implemented these pretty sweeping security reviews. Their focus seems to be primarily on data security and algorithmic transparency, but it's largely enforced within their own borders under their, you know, unique governance system. So you've got these really distinct models emerging, and they clearly show how national priorities are shaping this whole global AI governance picture.
That difference in philosophy is really striking. And it brings us back to that idea you mentioned, certification as the currency of trust.
Mm-hmm.
Why is trust so absolutely critical here? What happens? I mean, what are the real world consequences if people just don't trust AI, if that trust is missing?
Well, if public trust isn't there, even the most beneficial AI might never get adopted. Imagine, say, a life-saving medical diagnostic AI or systems to optimize energy grids to fight climate change. If people are too skeptical, they just won't get used effectively.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes deeper than just adoption. A lack of trust fundamentally means a lack of accountability.
Accountability, how so?
Think about it. When something inevitably goes wrong, and things will go wrong, maybe an AI shows bias in loan applications, or an autonomous vehicle has an accident, or sensitive data gets compromised. If there are no clear standards, no certification process, who's responsible? It becomes incredibly hard to assign liability, to enforce any safeguards, or even just to figure out how to fix it and regain confidence.
Right. It just becomes a black box of blame.
Exactly. And that can lead to, well, scary places, erosion of democratic oversight, deepening social inequalities because biased systems run unchecked. It could even undermine society itself if we allowed these powerful, often opaque systems to operate without any real scrutiny or recourse. Trust is the bedrock.
Okay, that really clarifies the stakes. So let's get specific. Beyond the buzzword, what is AI certification? Can you break down the actual processes involved?
Sure. At its heart, AI certification involves formal processes. Think audits, evaluations. They're specifically designed to check if an AI system meets certain predefined standards. Standards for safety, for fairness, transparency, accountability, those key pillars.
So it's like quality control, but for AI?
Exactly like that. Think about ISO standards in manufacturing, you know?
Yeah.
Or the rigorous testing drugs go through before they're approved. It's the same basic idea. The goal is to build trust. Trust between the developers, the regulators watching over them, and crucially, the public, who will end up using or being affected by these systems.
And you mentioned it takes different forms. Let's walk through those. First up, standards. You said these are agreed guidelines. What kinds of guidelines? Ethical principles? Technical specs?
Both. Definitely both. Standards are pretty comprehensive. They might lay out ethical principles like ensuring non-discrimination, protecting user privacy, demanding meaningful human oversight in key decisions.
Yeah.
But they also get very technical. Like specifying requirements for data quality, saying the training data has to be representative, free from certain biases. Or defining specific testing methods to make sure the AI is reliable and robust against unexpected inputs. It could even set performance benchmarks, like saying a medical AI needs, say, 98% accuracy on a diverse test set. Or demanding a certain level of explainability. How easily can we understand why the AI made a particular decision? Can it be audited? So yeah, it's a whole range of agreed upon rules for building and operating AI responsibly.
Okay, that's standards. Then you mentioned frameworks, more voluntary, outlining best practices. Who decides these best practices?
Frameworks often come out of collaborative efforts. It might be a government body, like NIST in the U.S., or it could be industry groups getting together, maybe academic institutions, or these multi-stakeholder initiatives involving civil society groups, too. The idea is to provide flexible guidance, something that can hopefully keep up with how fast AI changes, while still steering development in a good direction. Think of it as a blueprint for good behavior, rather than the strict law.
Got it. Then there are compliance requirements. These sound more serious. Mandatory checks by regulators. What's the stick here? What happens if you don't comply?
This is where the legal teeth come in. Non-compliance can mean big trouble. We're talking significant fines, potentially massive reputational damage, or even being banned from selling or deploying your AI system in a specific market altogether. Look at the EU AI Act. Again, serious violations could lead to fines in the tens of millions of euros or even a percentage of a company's global turnover. These are legally binding rules with very real, very impactful consequences.
Ouch. Okay, and finally, the certifications themselves. This is the actual seal of approval.
Precisely. That's the official stamp, the tangible proof that an AI system went through the required checks and actually meets the specified criteria. It's the signal to users, to partners, to the public that says, okay, this system has been vetted against these standards. You can trust it, at least according to those criteria. It provides that verifiable mark of quality and responsibility.
Yeah.
So you see, the intent behind all this is pretty clear, right? Prevent harm, encourage good design, provide reassurance. But the reality, the practice, much, much more complicated. Because often, AI certification ends up reflecting the priorities and, frankly, the resources of those who get to write the rules. And that can inadvertently leave others behind, smaller innovators, developing nations struggling just to keep up, let alone comply.
That leads us right into the central tension you mentioned. Let's explore that. On one side, what if we don't set high standards? What are the dangers there?
Oh, the risks are genuinely alarming if we don't set a high bar. Without strong guardrails, you could see just irresponsible, unethical AI development running wild. Think about misleading designs, AI built to deceive users, or just unchecked deployment leading to completely unpredictable, maybe disastrous consequences across society. Imagine AI making critical healthcare decisions without proper validation, or autonomous systems running financial markets with hidden biases, or influencing national security without any ethical checks. The potential for chaos, for real societal harm, is immense. It's a world where AI operates without any meaningful accountability.
That's a pretty bleak picture, but okay, let's flip the coin. What about the risks of setting standards that are too strict?
That's the other side of this really tricky dilemma. Overly strict standards, especially if they're super complex, incredibly expensive to meet, needing lots of legal and tech resources, well, they risk concentrating power. Power in the hands of the few entities who can afford it, wealthy nations, giant tech corporations. They're the ones with the deep pockets, the armies of lawyers and engineers needed to navigate these complex compliance hoops.
And the consequence of that is?
It creates huge barriers for everyone else. Small innovators, university research labs on tight budgets, and especially developing nations trying to build their own AI capacity. They find it incredibly hard to adapt, to innovate, even just to participate meaningfully in the global AI economy. And look, this isn't just about economics. It's fundamentally about who gets to shape the future of AI, who defines what's ethical, who decides what AI gets built and used for, who benefits from all this. Overly strict rules could lock out diverse voices.
So we're walking this tightrope. One path risks chaos and manipulation from unchecked AI, and the other path risks creating this kind of technological divide and exclusion based on resources, concentrating power.
Precisely. Both are incredibly dangerous outcomes. One threatens society with disorder, the other threatens it with inequity and fragmentation. And recognizing both these dangers, understanding this tension, is exactly why we need a more nuanced, more equitable approach to AI certification. This is really where the idea of a weakened AI governance starts to come in, finding that middle path, that delicate balance that addresses both threats.
Okay, let's shift gears slightly. We've defined certification, talked about the global race. Now let's dig into the real-world impact, especially globally, because it's clear this isn't just about technical safety specs, is it? It's deeply tied up with access, power, who gets to play in the AI sandbox.
It's a fascinating and frankly troubling paradox, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something designed to protect us can actually have these major unintended consequences. Think about the sheer economic burden for a lot of startups, maybe university labs, and especially for developing countries. The cost of getting that certification stamp, it can literally be more than their entire budget for actually building the AI in the first place.
Wow.
Yeah. Imagine pouring everything into a brilliant, potentially life-changing AI, only to find you simply can't afford the price tag for getting it approved. It's a massive barrier.
That really forces you to ask, what does it mean if the right to even participate in the AI economy comes down to who has the deepest pockets for compliance? It suggests certification, maybe unintentionally, could become this powerful tool for exclusion.
And this is already leading to some major challenges. We can see three big overlapping issues emerging. First, you've got fragmentation, all these different regional rule books of the EU AI Act, China's security rules, the US voluntary approach. They're creating this patchwork quilt of regulation,
which makes it hard to operate globally.
Incredibly hard. Imagine you're an innovative AI company. Maybe you built a great diagnostic tool. To sell it worldwide, you might need to navigate 3, 4, maybe more completely different, complex, possibly even contradictory sets of rules. Rules on data privacy, bias detection methods, cultural sensitivity requirements. Just to enter the EU, the US, India, maybe Brazil, it adds enormous cost, delays, complexity. It really hinders global collaboration and slows down innovation. Second problem, exclusion. This is where smaller players in developing nations just get locked out. They might have fantastic ideas, brilliant solutions tailored to local needs, but they just can't meet these expensive, complicated certification requirements. Think about that startup in a developing country with an AI for sustainable farming perfectly suited for their region, but without the millions, the legal teams, the specific technical infrastructure needed to pass a certification process, maybe designed in Brussels or Washington. They can't compete globally. They might not even get funding. Their innovation, no matter how valuable, just withers on the vine. And third, there's this issue of imbalance. Let's be honest, these certification systems, they're often designed primarily by and for the current big players, large tech companies, economically powerful nations. They have the resources to shape the debate, to influence the rulemaking. So you have to ask, does this just end up reinforcing the existing power structures? Does it make it harder for new, diverse voices and ideas from different parts of the world to emerge and challenge the status quo? Is it really democratizing innovation or just cementing the dominance of the incumbents?
That really lays bare the paradox, doesn't it? Certification, meant to protect us, ensure ethics, could actually function as a trade barrier, preserving the power of the current leaders rather than fostering innovation everywhere. The Source even uses the term technological imperialism. That's a strong phrase.
It is strong, but it reflects a serious concern. And the implications go beyond just economics. It's systemic. If access to AI that's deemed ethical or safe is basically determined by your wealth, by your ability to pay for complex compliance, that completely undermines the whole idea of fair governance, of equitable technological progress. You effectively create a two-tier world. The rich nations and companies get the approved AI, while others are left behind or forced to use potentially riskier systems. It just widens the global divides.
But we have to acknowledge the other.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Side again, what's the danger if we swing too far the other way, if we lower the requirements too much to try and be more inclusive?
That's the tightrope walk again. It's an equally dangerous path. If the requirements are too weak, too easy to meet, or just lowered excessively, you risk letting unchecked AI systems flood the market without any real accountability. And that could lead to unpredictable harm on a massive scale. Unchecked biases spreading, huge privacy breaches, dangerous autonomous actions in critical areas. It's this constant balancing act. We have to guard against overly restrictive rules and the chaos of insufficient oversight.
So this tension, this push and pull between protection and participation, that seems to be the absolute core challenge for AI governance right now, finding that sweet spot. Okay, let's push deeper now. We've talked mechanics, impact.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the purpose underneath it all, because the conversation can't just stop at technical audits and paperwork, right? There's something more fundamental here.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, the core argument really shifts here. It's not just about cost or access anymore. It really comes down to intent. We talked about the struggles of smaller nations, right? The cost being prohibitive. But then you look at the other side. The wealthier, established players who are often setting the agenda, defining these rules. And there's a real legitimate concern that sometimes these rules might be subtly shaped, maybe not even consciously, to protect their existing market dominance rather than purely to protect society. The rules might even be written in a way that the very entities involved in crafting them are somewhat less burdened by the standards they helped create.
That really gets to the heart of it, doesn't it? Compliance, just ticking the boxes, even if you do it perfectly, doesn't automatically mean you're acting ethically.
Not at all. An AI system can pass every single technical test. It can be 100% compliant with every written regulation. And it could still operate without, let's say, a genuine conscience. It could still embed subtle systemic biases that harm certain groups, even if it meets some statistical definition of fairness. Or it could be deployed in ways that are ethically dubious, even if technically allowed by the rules as written. Think about an algorithm certified as fair because it hits a benchmark. But in the real world, because of biases baked into its training data from society itself, it still leads to discriminatory outcomes.
Right. Technical compliance isn't the same as real-world ethical impact.
Exactly. So the critical question becomes, how do we make sure that a certified AI is genuinely ethical in its impact? Not just technically compliant with rules that might be flawed, incomplete, or maybe even a bit self-serving. What truly matters in the end is whether that certification reflects real integrity, a deep sense of responsibility, an authentic commitment to human well-being, not just proof that you jumped through the bureaucratic hoops.
So if that's the problem, what's the way forward? The source seems to suggest a pretty significant shift in how we think about this.
It does. It argues for a fundamental shift in focus. We need to move from focusing primarily on mere compliance to prioritizing genuine trust. What does that mean? It means the standards themselves, whatever form they take, have to carry the real weight of human values. We're talking about embedding truth, accountability, transparency deep within them. These need to be the non-negotiable foundations. This is crucial to stop anyone who has more powerful nations or emerging players from misusing their position or twisting the certification process. Wealthier nations especially need to show real consideration. They need to think about the global impact when they frame and enforce these rules. And at the same time, the emerging players, the smaller innovators, they need to clearly show their commitment, their pure intent, their dedication to these shared human values.
So it's not about making rules easier or harder across the board. It's about grounding them in something deeper in integrity. Making sure certification actually becomes a tool for global trust, rooted in human values, not just red tape or a weapon for control. This leads perfectly into another crucial point, this idea of local realities. Can a single, universal, one-size-fits-all approach to AI certification actually work globally? The source argues pretty strongly against it.
Yeah, and he uses great analogy. Think about architecture. Buildings in, say, South Africa need to handle a totally different climate, different environmental stresses than buildings in Northern Europe. Governance structures, including AI certification, are the same. They have to respond to the specific realities of the place they're meant to serve.
What does that mean in practice for AI?
Well, in some countries, the biggest immediate priority might be just building basic digital infrastructure or improving digital literacy so people can even engage with these technologies. Focusing on super advanced AI ethics guidelines might be putting the cart before the horse if people don't even have reliable internet access. In other places, the challenge might be building local technical expertise or just having the institutional capacity, the regulators, the auditors, to actually govern these complex systems effectively. If your certification framework ignores these fundamental differences, it just becomes this imported thing, this foreign concept. It might have little relevance to local needs and could even create resentment or new problems instead of solving existing ones. It just won't stick. It won't be owned locally.
That makes a lot of sense. And the source brings in another interesting parallel, this time from history, looking at cultures and languages. What can we learn there?
It's a really powerful comparison. Think about how languages evolve and interact. You know, French words flowed into English, enriching it. Spanish phrases shape communication globally. Hindi absorbed elements from Urdu. It's not usually about one language wiping out another. It's more often this natural exchange, this blending, this mutual influence and evolution. It shows how complex systems, like languages, can integrate, adapt, and actually grow stronger together without one needing to dominate or erase the other. They find ways to coexist and enrich each other.
Okay, that's a beautiful idea. How does that apply directly to the world of AI governance and certification, which often feels much more rigid?
The principle is exactly the same. For AI governance to work globally and sustainably, certification needs to evolve through adaptation, not imposition. It can't just be one dominant model, say the EU's or the US is being forced onto everyone else. It needs to be about flexible integration, allowing for regional variations, diverse priorities, cultural nuances, while still aligning on those core universal values. It's about moving away from a rigid top-down mandate that could stifle local innovation or just ignore critical context. It needs to allow solutions to manifest differently in different places.
So if we take those lessons on board, what are the key principles we should follow for a more adaptive, more inclusive global AI governance approach?
Okay, several key principles emerge. First, and maybe most importantly, respect cultural and regional realities, but do it while still aligning with that global need for trust. This means really understanding local values, social norms, different levels of technological maturity. What's considered fair or transparent isn't identical everywhere. Second, build on what's already there. Don't just try to rip out existing systems or frameworks, even if they're imperfect. That's often inefficient, disruptive, and alienating. Augment, improve, integrate. Don't just replace wholesale. Third, encourage smooth transitions. Design standards to be inherently flexible and inclusive from the start. Make it easier for diverse regions and players to adopt them gradually, adapting them as they go. And finally, the goal should be compatibility without erasing identity. We need different regional approaches to be able to talk to each other, to interoperate, so we can have global collaboration. But they shouldn't have to lose their unique local character or cultural relevance in the process.
That paints a much more organic, less monolithic picture. So the big idea is global AI governance only works if we see diversity not as a problem to solve, but as a strength, as a foundation for a more inclusive future. And you're saying local and regional leadership becomes absolutely critical in making that adaptation happen successfully.
Absolutely. Think back to the language analogy. The more fluidly systems can adapt and integrate, borrowing and blending like languages do, the stronger, the more resilient, and ultimately the more trusted they become globally. This flexible, adaptive approach is really essential if we want to build a truly global, equitable AI ecosystem that fosters shared progress, not just fragmented power pockets.
Okay, so if we accept this need for diversity, for local adaptation, how do we actually structure AI certification to make that happen? The source proposes a specific framework, right? Something beyond just rigid rules.
Exactly. To get away from these one-size-fits-all models that just aren't working equitably, the idea is that AI certification needs to evolve. It needs to move from being rigid to being responsive. And a tiered approach is suggested as a concrete way to do that. It offers a pathway that allows for both universal standards and that essential flexibility we've been talking about.
Right, a tiered model. Mm-hmm. Can you break down the different levels proposed?
Sure. There are three main levels suggested. The first is the foundational level. Think of this as the universal baseline. It covers essential safety measures, basic data integrity, fundamental compliance with globally agreed ethical principles. This would be the absolute minimum standard that every AI system, no matter where it's from or where it's used, should have to meet.
Okay, a global floor. What's the challenge in defining that?
Well, the trick is defining that baseline robustly enough to actually provide meaningful protection everywhere, but without making it so specific or prescriptive that it accidentally reflects only one cultural or technological viewpoint. It needs to be truly universal, yet genuinely effective. Then, the second level is the contextual level. This is where that regional adaptation really comes in. It allows for adjustments based on specific cultural norms, language differences, local laws, developmental realities, technological infrastructure, all those local factors we discussed. This level is vital because it lets regions customize requirements based on their unique priorities and nuances. It acknowledges that what works in, say, Silicon Valley might not be right or even feasible in rural Africa or Southeast Asia.
And how would those adaptations work? Who decides?
That's a key question. You would likely need regional bodies, maybe multi-stakeholder dialogues involving local experts, government, industry, civil society. The goal would be to ensure these adaptations are effective locally, but still compatible with the global foundational level, so you don't end up with isolated silos again. Interoperability is still key. And then there's the third tier, the highest level, the awakened level. This is described as something more aspirational. It's about a higher commitment, a deeper dedication.
Higher commitment to what?
To leadership responsibility, to really understanding and proactively mitigating the broader societal impacts of AI, to upholding the absolute highest standards of governance integrity. This goes way beyond just ticking technical boxes. It's about a deeper, more proactive ethical engagement from the AI's creators and deployers.
What might that look like in practice? What criteria define this awakened state?
Well, it could involve things like demonstrating exceptional transparency, maybe even in how very complex black box algorithms work, or implementing really advanced proactive measures to detect and counteract subtle biases before they cause harm. Maybe it involves actively engaging the public in design choices or contributing significantly to open source ethical AI tools and research that benefits everyone. It signals a really profound, almost philosophical commitment to ensuring AI is truly beneficial for humanity.
So putting these three levels together, foundational, contextual, awakened, what does this tiered model really achieve? Why is it better than a single standard?
The key insight is that this kind of model doesn't weaken accountability. Actually, it deepens it. By aligning the standards with both those universal human truths and the complex realities on the ground, it allows for a much more nuanced, more effective, and ultimately more equitable form of governance. It gives us a framework that can be strong enough globally to ensure safety, but also flexible enough locally to encourage diverse innovation and true participation. It responds better to the multifaceted nature of AI itself.
Okay, even if we have this sophisticated tiered framework, there's still a huge question looming, isn't there? One that often gets glossed over. Who watches the watchers? Who governs the governors?
That is the fundamental question, isn't it? And it's so important because, as you say, there are loads of actors trying to claim authority here. You've got governments passing laws, independent regulators setting guidelines, all these third-party auditing firms popping up, offering services. You might even get opportunistic groups trying to position themselves as standard setters. So, yeah, the question isn't just if there are governors, but who ensures their integrity, their impartiality, their accountability? Who audits the auditors?
And why can't we just assume these existing bodies, governments, regulators will do the right thing? Aren't they set up to protect the public?
Ideally, yes. But trust can't be blind, especially with something this powerful and complex. We have to ask the hard questions. Who decided on the standards they're enforcing in the first place? Were those standards genuinely unbiased, universally beneficial? Or did they perhaps reflect the interests of the powerful groups involved in drafting them? Maybe big tech companies, maybe dominant economic blocs. And who's checking if the enforcement is fair, consistent, free from political or commercial influence? And the biggest question, how do we make sure this whole governance structure doesn't just become another arena for power plays, for gaining economic advantage, for profit-seeking? Instead of being a genuine safeguard for all of society, it really highlights the need for accountability that goes deeper, something more inherent that transcends the usual institutional interests and potential conflicts.
So facing that challenge, the source proposes something quite specific, quite innovative, right?
It does. It introduces this idea of a global council of conscience. Now, this isn't meant to be just another layer of bureaucracy or another regulatory agency. The vision is for it to be a unique kind of space, a place where regulators, innovators, ethical leaders, people known for their integrity can actually align. Their purpose would be to safeguard trust in AI in a way that moves beyond the usual politics, the national rivalries, the corporate lobbying, the opportunism that can so easily creep into these things. It's about grounding the whole governance system in fundamental truth and conscience, precisely to stop those power struggles from undermining everything. It's about ensuring AI truly serves universal human values.
A global council of conscience? What's its core purpose then? It sounds like more than just setting rules.
Absolutely. Its purpose is fundamentally different. It's explicitly not about imposing dominance, one nation's view, one company's view, one block's view. Instead, it's about actively cultivating trust, fostering a shared global commitment to doing AI right. The vision is for it to be a shared body of integrity, a kind of living institution, you could say, built on those unwavering pillars: truth, accountability, transparency. And its role would be to guide AI development, certification, and governance across every region, every nation, every industry, keeping those core values front and center, always.
That sounds incredibly aspirational, which is great, but how would it actually be structured? How do you build something like that and ensure it doesn't just become, well, another committee susceptible to the same old problems?
That's the critical part the structure has, to embody the principles. Several key elements are proposed. First, those human core principles have to be non-negotiable. Every decision, every standard, every action anchored firmly in truth. Accountability, transparency. These aren't just buzzwords. They're deeper values than just technical compliance or winning a market. They form the moral compass. What does that mean in practice? It means constantly asking, does this decision truly serve the highest good for humanity? Is it fully transparent? Are we genuinely accountable for the outcome? Not just following procedure or protecting interests. Second, built right in, is the recognition of diversity. The council would champion standards that are globally interoperable, so systems can work together, but crucially, also locally adaptive. It would have an explicit mandate to ensure no region, no culture, no developmental stage gets left out. This directly tackles those problems of fragmentation and exclusion we talked about. It fosters genuine inclusion. Third, a clear mandate for the prevention of monopolies. This is vital. It would actively work to stop wealthy blocs or powerful nations from cornering the market on defining what counts as ethical AI. It pushes back against that technological imperialism risk, aiming for a more democratic, equitable global landscape. Fourth, rotational membership. This is key for dynamism. Members would serve limited terms with regular rotation. Why? To prevent any individual, institution, or nation from gaining entrenched influence. To avoid stagnation. Conflict-free service. This is non-negotiable for trust. While serving on the council, members would need strict independence. No ties to specific institutions, corporations, or national agendas that could compromise their impartiality. Their loyalty has to be to the global common good. Sixth, inclusive representation. It can't just be policy wonks or tech bros. The council needs broad representation, seats for governments, yes, but also the innovators, the creators, the people actually implementing AI on the ground, crucial cultural voices, representatives from existing governing bodies. It needs to reflect both policy expertise and the diverse realities of communities worldwide to have legitimacy. And finally, perhaps the most crucial structural element, authority to hold power accountable. This council needs teeth. It needs to be empowered to review the actions of even national governments and major global institutions regarding AI, to ensure that no one, no matter how powerful, operates completely unchecked. This is the heart of actually governing the governors. It ensures adherence to those shared values isn't optional.
Wow. Okay, so with all that built in the principles, the structure, what's the intended practical impact? How does it avoid just being more bureaucracy and actually function as this living conscience?
Yeah, the design is explicitly intended not to be just another bureaucratic layer adding red tape. The vision is for it to act as that living conscience,
right,
actively guiding the whole AI ecosystem. Its role would be to strengthen international cooperation while simultaneously honoring cultural and national identity that balance again. To constantly work to align innovation with genuine responsibility, pushing for AI that truly benefits humanity equitably. And ultimately, its core function is to protect the future of AI as a shared human endeavor, to make sure it doesn't become just another domain dominated purely by power, profit, or unchecked ambition, but remains a tool for collective progress and well-being.
This concept, the Awakened Global Council of Conscience, it feels like it's part of something even bigger, doesn't it? What's the broader context here?
It is. It fits directly into this idea of awakened AI governance, which is seen as the meeting ground, the space where technology and human conscience absolutely have to intersect. It emphasizes they are inseparable. And that, in turn, connects to a wider, more overarching call for a global leadership awakening. It's a holistic view. It says you can't separate technological progress from ethics, from human values, from our collective responsibility.
So what does that awakening mean for governance itself? How does it change the game?
The fundamental shift it calls for is moving governance away from being primarily about control, just trying to restrict, dictate, enforce rules from the top down, and moving it towards governance as a source of clarity. What does that mean? It means going beyond just enforcing rules. It's about fostering a deeper shared understanding of AI's incredible complexity and its profound implications, cultivating a clearer sense of our collective purpose in developing and using it, illuminating the path forward with wisdom, foresight, ethical insight. It's about guiding and enabling responsible innovation, not just putting brakes on it.
And the source mentions this awakened leadership movement. What's its role in actually making this vision happen? It sounds like the action arm.
Exactly. The awakened leadership movement is seen as the engine that translates this vision into practice. It's about actively working to ensure that AI systems, yes, but also the institutions building them, the nations deploying them, are consistently guided by those core principles. Truth, accountability, inclusivity, in their actual day-to-day decisions and operations. It's not just having ideals on paper. It's about embedding these values deep into the culture of leadership at every level and into every stage of tech development, making them real operational norms.
So if I'm getting this right, these three ideas, awakened governance, awakened AI governance, and global leadership awakening, they're not separate things. They're really interconnected parts of a single path.
That's precisely it. They stand together as one unified approach. Their collective goal is profound: to restore integrity to leadership, not just in AI, but across the board, and to firmly anchor humanity's future, especially our technological future, in wisdom, in responsibility, and in what the source calls an awakened presence. It's a truly holistic way of thinking about how we ensure technology, particularly AI, serves our highest human values and leads us towards a flourishing future for everyone, not just a select few.
Okay, that was a lot to cover. Let's try and distill some of the key takeaways from this deep dive today.
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is that AI certification is so much more than just a technical checklist. It's really a mirror reflecting who holds power in the world, who is genuinely committed to building trust, and who is actually willing to step up and take responsibility in this new era. It forces us to look beyond compliance to the moral foundation underneath it. It highlights the core principles that absolutely must drive governance, and it underscores the critical need for leaders with real integrity to make this whole thing work ethically and equitably. Ultimately, it challenges every leader, every institution, to start measuring progress not just by dominance or profit, but by integrity.
Absolutely. And this deep dive, it wasn't just about understanding rules and regulations. It was really about digging into the why and the how. How do we shape this incredible technological future with our human values right at the center?
And for me, what really stands out is just how deeply interconnected human values are with technological governance. It's unavoidable. We explored this idea of an awakened global council of conscience, potential way forward grounded in truth, accountability, transparency, those core human principles guiding AI.
So thinking about all this, what does it mean for you listening right now? We want to leave you with something to consider. How can you, in your own life, your own work, your own sphere of influence, maybe you're a consumer using AI every day, maybe you're an innovator building it, a leader setting policy, or maybe just someone curious trying to understand, how can you personally contribute to shifting AI governance from just being about control towards being a force for clarity, for integrity? Think about the power we all have through our choices, our voices, our demands to shape these technologies that are increasingly shaping our world. What role can you play in asking for, demanding greater transparency, more accountability, and a real genuine commitment to well-being from the AI systems you interact with every single day?
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.